Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We're going to read from Matthew 5, 38 through 39. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If people slap you on your right cheek, you must turn the left cheek to them as well. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We began this series last week talking about the main character, Jean Valjean. This series helps us to journey through Victor Hugo's epic novel, Les Mis. Some of us have read the novel. I hope that we at least have some exposure to the story, perhaps through the world-famous musical. The story of Jean Valjean, as we discussed last week, who found himself faced with grace in a way that was unexpected, and found himself faced with the opportunity to respond to that grace. But not only found himself faced with the opportunity to respond to it one time, but to respond to and with grace over and over and over and over again, in such a way that he began to live his life in a different way. Valjean was changed by grace. This week, we step into a tangential story, the story of Javert. The story of a man who first is a prison guard and later is a police inspector. A man who holds a strict, and I would even say rigid, understanding of the law. Now, I confess to you, my friends, that although I know there are many in the room who have deeply studied law, I would suggest that a rigid understanding of the law maybe isn't reasonable. In fact, every one of the JDs I know has an understanding of the importance of interpretation, of the limits of language and how you have to figure out the intent behind something. I think maybe sometimes that's the core of some of our disagreements on a political scale, is how a phrase or a word might be understood. Maybe there's not quite the rigidity to it that, I don't know, might make things easier. If we could just have a clear understanding, if we could all agree on that clear understanding, wouldn't things be easier? Valjean and Javert do not agree on the intent or the meaning of the law. I should say that as we explore this sermon series on Les Mis, that my primary source for this is a book that many of you are familiar with. We've talked about this. Matt Rawl's book, The Grace of Les Miserables. I know some of you have read it. I know a few of you have gotten a copy of this book from the office. If you would like to get a copy of this from the office, please let us know, and we'd be happy to get that to you. But Matt Rawl's book, The Grace of Les Mis, is what we're using. If you are familiar with the musical, you know that your introduction to the character of Les Mis, the character of Javert in Les Mis, is in the prison setting, as there are prisoners lamenting their current situation with those words we talked about last week, look down, look down. But then there's one character who's up for parole. It's Jean Valjean. He is called up by one of the prison guards, Javert. Now bring me prisoner 24601. Your time is up and your parole's begun. You know what that means. Valjean says, yes, it means I'm free. No, Javert replies. It means you get your yellow ticket of leave. You are a thief. Valjean says, I stole a loaf of bread. Javert says, you robbed a house. Valjean says, I broke a window pane. My sister's child was close to death and we were starving. Javert says, you will starve again unless you learn the meaning of the law. For Javert, he is a thief. He's a criminal. He will always be a thief, a criminal. More so, he will always see Jean Valjean not only as a prisoner, but as a number. You may remember, if you've seen the show, if you've read the book, that Javert continues to call him by his prison number. 24601. Do you see how in doing so, Javert sees Valjean as someone less than, as something less than? And whether he intends it or not, it is an act of dehumanization. You are always a thief. You are always a criminal. You do not even deserve a name. All you deserve is the number that you have earned, 24601. Later in the story, Javert is faced with a street brawl. It's a particularly shady part of town. It's where the prostitutes are. And it seems that a man has been attacked. Now, we'll talk a little bit more next week about the story of Fantine, the woman who was approached by a man on the street, the conversation that they had and her response. Javert approaches. He says, tell me quickly, what's the story? Who saw what and why and where? Let him give a full description. Let him answer to Javert. In this nest of whores and vipers, let one speak who saw it all. Who laid hands on this good man here? What's the substance of this brawl? You see, as Javert approaches, there is the well-dressed man, and there is the poor prostitute. And in his mind, he already knows who is at fault and who is not. He already knows who is good and who is evil. He already knows who is at fault. Later in this worship service, we'll hear a song that highlights Javert and his need for order, his need for black and white, no shades of gray. The lyric for the song Stars says, there out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God. See, Valjean is still a criminal. God be my witness, I never shall yield till we come face to face. would suggest that for Javert it has become an obsession. Javert contrasts the two of them. Talking about Valjean, he says he knows his way in the dark. Mine is the way of the Lord. Javert continues, those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. And if they fall as Lucifer fell, the flames, the sword. Then he goes on to talk about the stars in the sky and their multitude, but in particular, their sense of order. See, I would suggest that for Javert, there must be a sense of order. There must always be a clear sense of right and wrong, black and white. And for Javert, he's incapable of finding the middle ground. In our text today, from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is giving what we commonly understand to be the Sermon on the Mount. Interestingly, Don Rushing read last week from pretty much the same sermon in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke, it's on a plain. In Matthew, it's on a mount. But you'll see the parallels if you read them side by side. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the law of retaliation. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This is familiar even in the musical. Shortly after Jean Valjean experiences this moment of grace, he wrestles lyrically with the idea of having been taught an eye for an eye. And so what is this grace that is offered? Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, but I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If people slap you on your right cheek, you must turn the left to them as well. When they wish to haul you into court and take your shirt, let them have your coat too. When they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to those who ask and don't refuse to those who wish to borrow from you. Do you remember the story where Jesus and his disciples are picking grain to eat on the Sabbath, and they are criticized by the Pharisees and the religious leaders for working on the Sabbath? Do you remember when Jesus heals someone on the Sabbath, and he is criticized by some of those same leaders? Why? Because Jesus and his disciples refuse to be so rigid with those rules, refuse to fall in line to that simple structure of right and wrong, good and evil. Why is healing on the, can that really be good and evil? Picking grain, can that really be good and evil? If we stick ourselves into that rigidity, then perhaps it might be seen that way. But how does Jesus respond? When faced with that criticism of picking grain on the Sabbath, Jesus talks about the Sabbath. He says, listen, people weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the people. Well, what does that mean? The idea of the Sabbath is give yourself a break. Practice a bit of self-care. You work hard for 6 days a week. Give yourself a day off and rest. Do this for you because it's a good thing to do for you. Don't do this for God out of some rigid obedience. Do it because it's important self-care, and it helps you to work the next 6 days and take a day off, and then work the next 6 days and take a day off, and then work the next 6 days. The people are not created for the Sabbath. but the Sabbath created for the people. This is the lesson that Jesus gives. Might we then understand that people are not created for the law, but the law is created for the people? Might we then understand that Christ fulfills the law as it's written? Might we then understand that when someone approaches Jesus and says, "What are the most important commandments?" Jesus takes all those that are written, 600 and something laws that are rigid and structured, most of them saying, "Don't." And instead, Jesus says, "Do." Do love God with everything you have. And do love your neighbor as yourself. In these two commandments are all the laws and all the prophets. Are these rigid? Are these filled with love and compassion? What would have happened if Javert looked at Jean Valjean and said, I know that you're hungry. It's tragic that you broke a window pane and you stole this bread, and there are consequences for this. And also, maybe I can show some compassion. Maybe I can even find out. I know this is a fantasy world right now, right? But what if Javert said, I see where you're coming from, and it's not okay to break into a house. But let me give you some bread. Let me give your sister's child some bread. Let's address why you're poor and why you're hungry. What if Javert responded that way? What if we look at those who turn to crime, at those who turn to substance abuse? And while maintaining important and good boundaries, also do so with a heart of compassion. Say, I understand why you did what you did. And that's not an okay thing to do. And let's address why. And let's have that conversation and let's see if we can meet your needs in a way that is culturally appropriate. I was so privileged to have a conversation with a member of this congregation who was hearing some words in his neighborhood. People talking about some folks who had moved into the community, not into a house, but were living in some of the nearby bushes, finding trash and things. And he said, some of my neighbors really want to move those people on and move those people out. And he came to me to say, well, what other resources can we offer? Are there organizations that we can help them get connected with to help them escape their circumstances? What an incredible conversation. What an incredible turn away from that rigidity. In a speech in 1968 at Grosse Pointe High School, the Reverend Martin Luther King talked about two Americas. And to me, the way he talked about this falls so deeply in line with what Javert, with a heart of compassion, might have seen. King says this, there are literally two Americas. Every city in our country has this kind of dualism, the schizophrenia split at so many parts. And so every city ends up being two cities rather than one. There are two Americas. One America is beautiful for situation. In this America, millions of people have their milk and prosperity and the honey of equality flowing before them. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, culture and education for their minds, freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, children grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. But there is another America. This other America has a daily ugliness about it that transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this other America, thousands and thousands of people, men in particular, walk the streets and search for jobs that do not exist. In this other America, millions of people are forced to live in vermin-filled, distressing housing conditions where they do not have the privilege of wall-to-wall carpeting, but all too often they end up with wall-to-wall rats and roaches. Imagine sitting with someone who says, I have been to 5 job interviews this week, and no one will hire me because I don't have any teeth. No one will hire me because I don't have a clean enough outfit to wear. No one will hire me because when I was just trying to sleep on the sidewalk, somebody stole all my stuff and I don't have a driver's license or a social security card or even a birth certificate. And I can't afford to get them again. I've had that same conversation more times than I can count. Friends, there are 2 Americas. Whether it is the America of those with and those without, whether it is the America of those who are persons of color and those who are not, friends, there are 2 Americas. But what might happen when we can see grace? It happens in the musical and in the book, where Javert finds himself at the hands of Jean Valjean and expects Valjean to take his life. And instead, Valjean spares him, shows him grace, lets him go. And in Javert's final song, Javert says, who is this man? What sort of devil is he to have me caught in a trap and choose to let me go free? It was his hour at last to put a seal on my fate, wipe up the past and catch and watch me clean up the slate. All it would take was a flick of his knife. Vengeance was his and he gave me back my life. How can I now allow this man to hold dominion over me, this desperate man that I have hunted? He gave me life, he gave me freedom. I should have perished by his hand, it was his right. It was my right to die as well. Instead I live, but I live in hell. I suggest, my friends, that the invitation to grace is not only so that we could spread compassion and love to the world, but in doing so, we save our own hearts and souls as well. If we live in a world that is so rigid and black and white, good and bad, good and evil, and we do so without compassion, we lose a part of ourselves. Javert can't handle it. He cannot see that world. But friends, the grace of God is sufficient. The presence of Christ on the cross and in resurrection is sufficient. The experience of community and compassion and giving ourselves to one another in joy and in laughter and in support and grief and in service together. I believe, my friends, that this is an expression of grace. Living out in the world that has been created for love. Living as people of the resurrection and of hope. May we find ourselves able to be compassionate and grace-filled and the light of God's love. Amen. As we do each week, we try to come up with a tangible way to respond to this time of worship. And I would like to invite you to think of something that I suspect may be difficult for some of us. I wonder if there has been a circumstance, I know there has been for me, I wonder if there's been a circumstance for you in your life where you have either tacitly or even actively chosen not to offer forgiveness to someone. Again, I know this is the case for me. Over the course of this week, I would ask you to figure out what it will take to forgive that person. Now, it may be a journey that takes longer than a week to actually forgive them. So what I'm asking is, figure out this week what it will take to forgive. Then you'll need to make up your mind whether or not you're willing to do that. Figure out this week what it will take to forgive.